Page number 186. Come, let us with our Lord arise. Our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made and rose triumphant from the dead. He rose the Prince of life and peace and stamped the day forever his. The hymn number 27 on the page 186, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Just unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee this Lord's Day morning we're found here in the house of the Lord to praise Thee and to worship Thee. And Father, we come in no merit of our own, but we come through Christ our Redeemer, the Savior of sinners, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee today for the spotless, flawless life of Christ. We thank Thee that in His life there was no blemish, there was no fault. We thank Thee that He did no sin, that He was without sin. And Father, we thank Thee that He kept the law of God perfectly for us. He could say, I delight to do the will of my Father in heaven. And Father, we thank that He did that will perfectly. And He went to the cross and He paid the penalty, the debt of our sin in full. On that cross, when He suffered and bled and died and cried out upon that cross, "It is finished." We thank thee, Father, for that once for all, a sacrifice for our sins. And Father, we thank that the payment has been made. And Father, we thank thee that though Christ was buried, the grave could not hold him. And we praise thee and thank thee, O God, that the third day that he rose again triumphant over the grave, over death, over sin, over hell, over all the very powers of darkness. And Father, we thank thee that Christ is indeed alive forevermore. And Father, we praise thee and we thank thee today that we serve and we worship a risen Savior. And Father, we thank that this thine own day is but the memorial that Christ liveth, that Christ is alive. And Father, we thank that Christ has ascended up into heaven. And Father, we thank that there at thy right hand, he is praying for us as the people of God. And we rejoice, O God, today that we are accepted in the Beloved. And though we have sinned against thee in thought and word and in deed, we thank thee for pardon for sin through the blood of Christ. We thank thee, Father, for peace, O God, with thee. And Father, we thank thee for reconciliation, that the enmity has been slain and put away because Christ became our substitute upon the cross. And Father, we thank that with peace, O God, today with thee through him. And that thank thee that peace is forever the same, that it changes not. And Father, we thank that we can rejoice today as the people of God, not only in the forgiveness of sins and knowing thee, heavenly God, as our heavenly Father, but Father, we thank that we can rejoice in heaven and in glory, that one day we shall be with Christ forevermore, that one day we shall be like Christ, for thy word declares that we shall see him as he is. Father, bless our coming together today, we pray. Help us today in all things to honor, exalt, and magnify thy name. And grant today help to worship thee in spirit and in truth, O God. And grant, Father in heaven, that the words of our lips, the thoughts of our hearts, O God, would be acceptable in thy sight, O God. And Father, as we seek to worship thee and to serve thee today as the people of God, we pray that we might know thy help and thy blessing upon all our labors for God this day. We thank thee for all who have gathered in this meeting. Bless every head bowed before thee, every household and family, Lord, that is represented. Meet the need of every heart and life, from the very youngest to the oldest. We thank thee for all who are saved. Lord, bless thy people. Draw every believer closer, Lord, to thee. For any, Lord, in times of trial and difficulty, may they know the strengthening hand of God. Others needing counsel and direction, Lord, teach them thy way for their lives, O God, we pray. And for any maybe walking afar from thee, may they know thy restoring touch and grace. And Father, for any in our gathering today unsaved out of Christ, do speak to them today especially, Lord, and powerfully, Lord, through thy word. And may they come to trust Christ and to rest upon him alone for salvation. We thank that this is a day of grace, the day of opportunity, the day of salvation. And we pray, O God, that such would not sin away their day of grace. But oh, that today, Lord, while they've got health and strength and the gift of all their faculties, oh, that they would seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We think of those unable to come today, Lord, because of age, sickness, and infirmity. Lord, bless them. Those in hospital, those in residential care, Lord, meet their needs, we ask of thee, and give help and healing and strength, we pray. And Lord, for those that mourn and grieve, Lord, comfort their hearts, we ask of thee. And Father, we pray, bless all our homes and our families and our family circles. Meet every need. And Lord, do unite all our family circles in the Lord. Again, we thank thee for the work of our Sunday school this morning and the children's meetings in the week that has gone by and the work amongst the youth as well. Do bless all these endeavors, we pray, to the saving of children and to the guiding of our children and our young people in the ways of God. And do lead them on with thyself and in the way that thou wilt have them to go, we pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that thou would remember every outreach from this congregation, the tract work, the open-air ministry, the online ministry also. And Lord, wherever thy seed is sown, the seed of the gospel, prosper that seed, we pray, and use it, Lord, to the extension of thy kingdom here and further afield. Remember our land today, Lord. Bless all our sister congregations, all our ministers, our students, our laymen who will preach thy word. Remember gospel missions at this time coming to an end and maybe others continuing. And bless the seed sown there in Larne over this past week. And remember that final meeting, O God, today. And Father, we pray that such will press into the kingdom of God who have heard thy word. We thank thee for saving souls and various places in recent times across our land. And Father, we pray that for these mercy drops to grow unto times of a great flood tide of revival, and that thou will come again in power and in grace to our land and to our nation, we pray. Remember the south of Ireland. We think of the mainland of Britain as well. Bless wherever the word of God is faithfully proclaimed today. Build thy church, extend thy kingdom. And Lord, turn many to righteousness in Christ as Savior, we pray. Father, we think of our missionaries today at home and abroad. Lord, bless them and be with them and keep them safe. Give them health and strength, we pray, and encourage them greatly in the Lord. I do remember the land of Ukraine and Israel at this time. We pray for the peace of thy people and the protection of thy people and the overthrowing of the works of the evildoer in these lands and nations, we pray. And Father, we do pray for our own Lord, King and royal family here in United Kingdom. Remember him and the Princess of Wales, especially at this time. They know thy touch of healing upon them. And Father, we pray especially that the light of the gospel will shine into that household and that they might be saved by the grace and power of God divine. For those that rule in our land, O God, may they realize their responsibility to rule in accordance with thy word. And again, Lord, speak to their hearts and make them wise, O God, unto salvation. And Lord, bring to naught the plans of those who would seek to promote evil in our land and in our society, O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we think of the forthcoming Easter Convention meetings. We pray for thy blessing upon them and upon those who administer thy word. May it be a time of blessing and reviving and quickening to the saints of God, even as they gather at those special times of meeting, we pray. Bless us now, we ask of thee. Take our hearts and minds of ourselves and of our circumstances, O God, and of the world around us, O God. Fix our hearts and minds today upon the Lord. For thou hast said in thy word that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Continue with us, Lord. Give help in every detail of our meetings today. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. We're turning again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 138. The hymn number 138, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns on music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. The hymn number 138, and we'll stand as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Bible with you today and ask you to turn to the New Testament book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 12, reading some verses from that chapter, and then turning back to Nehemiah chapter 3 and the verse number 14. But reading first of all from Hebrews chapter 12, if you'd like to mark that passage, and then turning back to Nehemiah chapter 3 and the verse 14. But we'll read first of all from Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together today. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And then turning back to Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 3, just one verse, it's the verse number 14 of the chapter. But the dung gate repaired Malachiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Hakiram. He built it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. Amen. We'll end our reading there, that verse 14, and our prayer is that God will bless the reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see each one gathered with us today. And if you're visiting, extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors in our meetings. And pray the Lord will bless you if you're a believer. May you be drawn closer to the Lord today. And if you're not saved, we pray that this day will be the day of your conversion, where you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your Savior and Redeemer. To those also joining us online, we pray the Lord will bless you. We welcome you today as well around God's Word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Tonight, 6:30, the evening prayer meeting. Trust as many as possible will gather for the time of prayer. And then the evening gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. It is a special family and friend night service. And God willing, our sister, Mrs. Julie Omerod from Cumber, will be long to testify of God's saving grace and God's sustaining grace in her life. She'll be coming to tell how the Lord has saved her and how the Lord has helped her and sustained her. Over 10 years ago, she lost her husband very suddenly, but has proved the Lord and his grace and help in her time of need. So remember that, make it knowing. There are still some wee invitations for that out there in the table in the porch, and we encourage you to take those, give them out even today to friends and family and neighbors, and invite them, encourage them along to the meeting tonight at 7 p.m. Tuesday night here in the church at 8 p.m. is a special missionary prayer meeting, and our brother, Mr. Glenn Hamilton, prospective missionary to Kenya from our Ballymena church, will be along to bring God's word and to tell of the Lord's leading and calling in his life to the land of Kenya and to the work of God there. And he'll also be showing a video presentation regarding the needs of that work. And then there'll be a retiring offering to support her brother as he goes to take up that work. So remember that, make it known, and encourage as many as possible to gather, to come along, and to encourage your young brother as he prepares with his family to go out there to the land of Kenya. Do remember also the services here next Lord's Day. That is the 31st of March, Easter Sunday services, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7, both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and in the will of the Lord, we'll be long to bring God's word. So pray for those meetings, plan to join with us, and invite and encourage others in. Do please also remember the Easter Convention services this coming weekend as well. in the Martyrs Memorial Church Friday night is the youth praise service. And the preacher there is the Reverend Timothy Nelson, and we encourage all the young people to go along. And any young people needing a lift, see your brother, Mr. Ian Moore. Saturday night at 7:30 is the missionary rally, various missionary ports from across the world. The preacher there is Dr. John McKnight from America. And then the final meeting on Easter Monday night at 7 p.m., and again, the preacher is Dr. John McKnight. So pray for those meetings, and if at all possible, do go along and support them on those special occasions. Kilskerry Independent Christian School is coming Saturday, the 30th of March, are having a coffee morning and cake sale from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. All are welcome as for the school there, so do remember that, please. Draw your attention there to a little book produced by our Historical Committee of our Presbytery regarding the Covenanters and the link between the Covenanters of Scotland and here. It's priced at £5. We commend that to you. You'll find good reading there. And then as a church, we want to offer congratulations to our sister, Miss Bethany Edwards, and also Mr. and Mrs. John and Rachel McNeil, and their graduation on Thursday night past from the Whitfield College of the Academy. And we trust that that course will be a great help and blessing and encouragement to them in the ways of God and the days that lie ahead. Saturday the 13th of April is the next planned outreach for Consider Christ Outreach down to Athy and County Kildare. Pray for that. And again, anyone wishing to come along and help, let us know and we'll let you know the details. And then as a church, we want to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Sadie Scott, who lost her sister-in-law in the week that has gone by. And we do assure her and her family and her family circle of our prayers and sympathy at this time of loss and bereavement. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book, the hymn number 107. The hymn number 107 in your hymn book. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he divort that sacred head for such a worm as I? We don't take up any offering during the meeting, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. We'll just keep seated for the early part of this hymn, 107. again, please, to that verse that we read earlier in Nehemiah chapter number 3, and to the verse number 14. And with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, in a brief word of prayer. Father, we think of those who mourn today. We think especially of our sister, Mrs. Scott, and that family circle. We pray that Thou will give comfort, that Thou would fill that vacant chair with the presence and the nearness of the Lord. And even through the passing, Lord, of this loved one, speak to others in that community not saved, not ready for death, not ready for eternity. And Lord, even through this, may souls come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. Lord, in all these things, teach us each one to number our days and to apply our hearts, O God, unto wisdom. Bless us now as we turn to Thy precious and holy word. Shut us in, Lord, with Thyself. Fill me afresh with Thy Holy Spirit, with the power of God. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom in the preaching of Thy word. Let nothing be said that is not of Thee. And Lord, bless and apply Thy word to every heart, from the very youngest to the oldest in the meeting. Use Thy word to the saving of sinners, to the strengthening of the saints in Zion, and to the glorifying of Thy name. Answer prayer now, we pray, and bless and guide and direct in all that will be said and done. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today is verse number 14 of Nehemiah chapter number 3. It says, "But the dung gate repaired Malachiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Akirim. He built it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof." Now today in our studies in Nehemiah, we come to the fifth gate that is mentioned in connection with the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And this gate is known to us here as the Dung Gate. And it was repaired by a man called Malachiah, the son of Rechab. This gate was located in the southern tip of the city walls of Jerusalem, near to the pool of Siloam. And this gate, yes, was the main exit from the city into the valley of Hinnom. And it was through this gate that all the refuge and all the rubbish from the city was disposed of. And it was in the valley that of Hinnom that the rubbish from that city was burned day and night. Yes, the fire in that valley of Hinnom was a fire that never went out. It was always smoldering, day and night burning, consuming the refuse and the rubbish from the city of Jerusalem. And in the heat of the Middle Eastern sun, no doubt that the smell from the stump would not have been pleasant. It would have been most unpleasant. But being near the southern tip of the city, the winds would have helped and would have blown the stench away from the city and from the people within the city. And whenever all of this is considered, we see that the repairing of the dung gate was most important. For it was absolutely essential for the disposing of the waste from the city of Jerusalem. Yes, the function of the dung gate, it allowed the rubbish to be dumped safely from the city. You can imagine what the town of Enniskillen would be like if there was no dump, and that the bins were never emptied or never lifted. It would not be a nice place to live, nor would it be a healthy place to live. So we see the vital importance of a properly functioning dung gate in Jerusalem in the day of the Lord's servant Nehemiah of old. And people, the mention of this dung gate and its repairing has a number of important lessons for us all today in this congregation. And it is those lessons I want us to look at and set before you as the Lord would enable us today in our study regarding the repairing of the dung gate. We can say, first of all, that the repairing of this dung gate, it reminds the believer of the importance of faithfulness in God's work. Look again at our text. It says, "But the dung gate repaired Malachiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Akirim. He built it and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now you think about the repairing of this particular gate, the repairing of this gate, it would not have been as appealing or as attractive as the repairing of the other gates of the city would have been. Yes, this gate by its very name, the Dung Gate, is something that is unattractive. Through this gate went all the filth and all the dirt and all the rubbish of the city. And my such a sight would have been most unpleasant to the eyes. Yes, such would have been most unpleasant to the sense of smell and a person's nostrils. But to the credit of this man, Malachi and others, they were faithful in doing this vital work of repairing the Dung Gate, a work that many others would have naturally have turned away from in the day of Nehemiah, the servant of God. It is very interesting to note that this man, Malachi, was originally from, it says there in verse number 14, Beth Hakirim. And that place literally means the house of the vineyard. And my vineyard would have been a place more appealing to work in. It would have been more appealing to labor in a vineyard. But no, Malachi, he goes and he works at the repairing of this Dung Gate. And the repairing, yes, of this Dung Gate was most vital. And here Malachi and others faithfully do that which was their duty to do in the day of Nehemiah. And people of God, there's a very important lesson here for us. And the lesson is this, that we too are to be faithful. And whatever task God gives us to do as Christians, we're to be faithful in that work. Perhaps our work maybe is unappealing to the natural man, that work that God has given us to do. Perhaps that work is unnoticed by many. Perhaps that work is unappreciated by many. And perhaps that work that God gives us to do, it involves hardship or sacrifice. Perhaps there's many that they think it is really unimportant. Well, dear people of God, whatever God gives you and I to do, and wherever he calls us to labor for him, and whatever it is, we are to be faithful. Just as this man Malachi was faithful in repairing the Dung Gate, and we are to do that work with all our heart, and we're to do that work with all our soul. You turn a little bit over in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And go down to the verse number 10 and notice what you read there. And I encourage you, Christian, mark this verse in your Bible. It will encourage you and I to be faithful in whatever God gives us to do. It says in verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 9, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whithersoever thou goest. Whatever God gives it to do, we're to do it with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our might. That's how it was with Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says, the holy followed the Lord. Whatever they did for the Lord, they did it with all their might. Child of God, when it comes to doing God's work and serving the Lord and whatever God asks us to do and whatever God gives us to do, it is not ours to reason why, no. Rather, it is ours to do. And to do what God gives us to do and to do it with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. You think of the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer says, this one life that I have, I will yield. And the little I can, let me do. That was the burden of their heart. Whatever they could do, that they would do it with all their heart and with all their soul. And people, we all can do something in the work of God. There's something for every one of us to do in the work of God and the cause of Christ. Remember many years ago hearing about a Christian man giving his testimony. He was the caretaker of the church where he worshipped, and he kept the place meticulously. And in his testimony, he says, "I do it all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, who loved me and gave himself for me." He done it with all his heart and with all his soul. Maybe there's things we feel we cannot do as Christians. Maybe we feel we cannot as we're maybe stand in front of people or whatever. But whatever, dear believer, the Lord gives you to do, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your soul, and God will bless you and use you for his honor and for his glory. For the Lord says, "Them that honor me," he says, "I will honor." And also, believer, can I say this? When it comes to doing God's work, we are not to be jealous of other Christians and the work that they are doing and the work that God has given them to do. That's what happened to Peter. Peter was concerned about John, and the Lord had to rebuke Peter for that, for he said to Peter, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." He says, "Peter, get your eyes off John and get your eyes upon me, your Lord and Savior." And brethren and sisters in Christ, we're to do the same. We're not to be taken up with what others are doing in the work of God, but what God gives us to do, we're to do it with all our heart and soul. The Bible says, as we read this morning, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes, we see the repairing of this dung gate. It reminds us, yes, of the importance, dear people, of faithfulness, being faithful in the work that God has for us and the work that God gives us to do. How vital, how important that is in the work of God and in the church of Christ. But secondly, we can say further this morning that the repairing of this dung gate, it also reminds the believer of the importance of living a holy life, living a life that is separate from sin. Again, think of what our text says. It says, "But the dung gate repaired Malachiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakerem. He built it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof." And the repairing of this gate was absolutely vital for the sanitation and the cleansing of the city of Jerusalem. The repairing of this gate and the function of this gate, it allowed all the dirt, all the filth, all the rubbish of the city to be taken outside the walls of the city and to be cast into the city dump. If this could not happen, if this did not happen, then there would have been sickness and disease and death in the city. Then health would have been very poor among the people of the filth, and the dirt could not be discarded safely and disposed of outside the city walls in the dump in the valley of Hinnom. Therefore, we see that it was absolutely vital that the city of Jerusalem be kept clean, that it be cleansed. And people of God, the lesson here for us as believers is very clear. If we are to be a holy people, if we are to be a holy church, then our lives as Christians must be cleansed and separate from sin. Yes, our lives must be separate from the evil corruptions and ways and fashions of this ungodly world. When we're saved, it is the will of God that you and I as Christians, that we live a holy life. That is the teaching of Scripture for God's people from Genesis right through to Revelation. Leviticus chapter number 20 and the verse number 7, the Lord there is speaking to his people, and this is what he says. He says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." And that's the Lord's command to us all as Christians. In Isaiah 52, verse number 11, it says there to the believer, it says, "Touch no unclean thing. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." James is speaking of the Christian at the end of his first chapter in his epistle, and he says this of the believer, he is to keep himself unspotted from the world. We're to keep ourselves unspotted from the evil ways of this world. You think of the words and the desire of David in Psalm 101. He says, "I will set no wicked thing
before mine eyes. And how important that is, dear people, in the day in which we live. We read earlier on in Hebrews chapter 12 how we're all called as Christians, it says, to lay aside every weight. And it says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us as Christians. And my God's people are to be a holy people. That means a life separate from sin and the ways of this ungodly, evil world. Turn your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And notice how that chapter begins. And it reminds us here of our responsibility. Here, really, Paul is dealing with practical sanctification in the life of the Christian, the life of the Church of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, notice it, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of the Lord. This is our responsibility as believers when it comes to sin and things that are not right in our lives as Christians. Paul says we are to cleanse ourselves. We are to purge ourselves from these things. Dear people of God, yes, if there are things in our life that are not right, things that are sinful and wrong before God, we have a responsibility to confess those things to the Lord. We have a responsibility to forsake those things before the Lord as a believer and to seek the Lord afresh for cleansing from those things through His precious blood that Christ has shed for us as His people upon the cross. You remember the words of John as he writes to God's people in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 9. Speaking there specifically in the context to the Christian, to the believer. And he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there John is the word sin in the plural. He says, if we confess our sins. When things creep into our lives as believers that are wrong and sinful, contrary to God, we've got to confess them to the Lord. We've got to forsake them before the Lord and have them put away through the precious blood of Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. It has been said that holiness is to be the everyday business of every Christian. How vital that is. It was vital, yes, that the city of Jerusalem be kept clean in the day of Nehemiah, and is still vital today for the Church of Christ, the Church of Zion, to be cleansed and to be pure and to be separate from sin and evil and the ungodly ways of this world. Dear people of God, if we ignore God's call to holy life, then we hinder the Lord's blessing and we harm our testimony as believers before the world day by day. How vital then, how important it is that we seek then by God's grace to live a holy life, a life separate from sin and the evil ways of this world, that we might live to the glory and to the honor of the Lord. Yes, the repairing, yes, of this gate, it reminds us of faithfulness. It reminds God's people also of the importance of living a holy life. But notice one final thing today. The repairing of this dung gate also warns the sinner of the awful reality of hell, of the awful reality of hell. Look again at our text. It says in verse 14, but the dung gate repaired Malachiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakerem. He built it and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. There we read of the gate being repaired and being used. And through that gate, the rubbish from the city, the refuge from the city was taken. It was taken through the dung gate. And from there it was taken to the valley of Hinnom, which was really Jerusalem's dump. That's where the dump for the city of Jerusalem was located. And here all the rubbish and all the refuge of the city was burned. And that fire always smoldered. That fire was never, ever allowed to go out. And people in this, do we not see a picture of hell? For what does the Bible say to you and I about hell? It describes it as a lake of fire. And this is where every unrepentant sinner will spend eternity when they leave this world and leave this scene of time. Revelation 20 speaks of the ungodly in the day of judgment and says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And people, young and old today, remember this, that hell is a lake of fire, a literal lake of fire. Turn in your Bible over to Matthew chapter 25, and look there at the words of Christ again as he warns of this judgment for the ungodly, the unsaved. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 and verse 46. "On the day of judgment," he says, "then," that's the Lord, "he shall say unto them on his left hand," that's the unsaved, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, preserved for the devil and his angels." Look at verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." The key word in both those verses is the word everlasting. Hell, we see in verse 41, is a place of everlasting fire, fire that never goes out. Verse 46, we see it's a place of everlasting punishment, punishment, judgment for sin that never, ever ends. That is why the Roman Catholic teaching, the false teaching of Rome regarding purgatory and limbo land is wrong. It's unscriptural. Because purgatory and limbo land suggests that there's an end for suffering for the sinner in eternity. But that is unscriptural. It's untrue, false teaching. Hell is a place of everlasting punishment, a place of everlasting fire. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And people, hell really is God's dumping ground for every unrepentant sinner. And who is the unrepentant sinner? The unrepentant sinner is the person who goes on in their sin, living in their sin, living for sin, and they reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, as the only Savior from sin. This is the awful end in eternity for such a life. It's very important to note that Christ himself, when he was here on earth, he used Jerusalem's dump. He used it to warn the people of his day of the awful reality of hell and the fire that is not quenched. Turn in your Bible over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 9. And you go down to verse 43 to 46 of this chapter, and notice carefully what the Lord Jesus says. He's warning here of the awful reality of hell. And he says in verse 43, he says of Mark chapter 9, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." When he talks about the worm there that dieth not, he's speaking there of the conscience of man, tormented in hell forever and ever and ever. And again in verse 45 he says, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." You'll notice there in verse number 43 and in verse 45, he uses the word hell. He says, about going into hell, he says, "into the fire that never shall be quenched." And again in verse 45, he speaks of hell, the fire, he says, that never shall be quenched. And in the original language of the New Testament, that word for hell is the word Gehenna. And that word is literally translated the Valley of Hinnom. And there we see how Christ, he used the fiery dump outside the walls of Jerusalem in his own day to warn people of hell, a place of everlasting burnings and punishment for sin. Yes, a place of separation. For that dump was outside the city walls of Jerusalem, separate from all that was inside the walls of Jerusalem. And it reminds us that hell is a place of eternal separation from God. place of everlasting punishment and torment for sin. Dear friend, in our meeting today, man, woman, young people, realize this in our gathering that hell is real. It's not a figment of our imagination. It is real. It is certain. It is literal. It is a place of unending torment. It is a place of eternal separation from God and God's redeemed people. It is a place of eternal punishment and judgment for sin. Friend, can I warn you today, this is where you will be in eternity if you die unsaved. If you leave this world as a non-repentant sinner before God, without the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. See the solemnity of this. If you are to be saved from a lost eternity in hell, then as a repentant sinner, you must confess your sins to God and by faith alone. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. That's what the Bible commands you to do in the gospel. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. And there in verses 9 and 13, we see the way of salvation very clearly mentioned and described for us. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe on thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved today, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, think of that word, whosoever. It takes in every single one of us in this meeting. If you call as a poor and needy sinner upon the Lord, confess your sins to Christ. Realize that he died for your sins upon the cross, that he rose again victorious. Put your trust in him as Savior. You shall be saved. God will forgive your sins. He'll pardon your sins. He'll bring you into his family, into his fold. And one day he'll take you home to heaven. He'll save you from the wrath to come. And he'll fit you for heaven. Christ came to this earth. He died for our sins upon the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. He cried out, "It is finished." The Bible says Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood, and as our substitute, he took upon himself the wrath of God, the hell that we deserve for our sins. And he cried out, "It is finished," and he rose again victorious the third day, alive forevermore. Because the price of redemption had been paid in full. The Bible says of Christ that he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The Bible says by his own blood he obtained eternal redemption for us. And dear friend, if you look by faith to Christ, if you trust him to be your Savior, rest on his sacrifice alone for salvation, God will forgive all your sins. The Holy Spirit will come and dwell in your heart. You'll be born again. And God will deliver you from the wrath to come, and he'll take you one day to heaven and to glory. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him." Friend, today heed the warning from the repair of the dung gate in the day of Nehemiah. Be saved from the wrath to come, from the eternal wrath and fire of a lost sinner's hell. Come today to Christ, trust him as your Savior, and be saved forevermore. We're going to close our meeting today by singing together the hymn number 497. 497 in your hymn book, "Wash Me, O Lamb of God. Wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Purge me from every stain. Let me thine image gain. In love and mercy reign over all within." Oh, if you're not saved today, make this hymn the very prayer of your heart. Know what it is to be saved and cleansed from sin by the blood of Christ. 497 will stand as we sing.
we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee, Father, for help given in the ministry of thy word. Write the lessons of thy word upon our hearts. Help us as thy people to serve thee with all our heart. Help us as thy people to be separate from the evil ways of this ungodly world. And Lord, for any in our gathering today, Lord, not saved, may they realize there's a wrath to come. There's a hell to be saved from. And oh, that today they might look away from themselves, from sin, from every false refuge and prop of man, and that they might flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, flee from the wrath to come, and flee to Christ, the sinner's refuge, and trust in him alone for salvation. Answer prayer to this end. Take us to our homes and safely travel. Give us traveling mercies. Bless us throughout thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. For we ask all these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.